thank you for joining us for another episode of The Doctor Is In. Today we are talking about youth suicide. Many teens and young adults find themselves overwhelmed with school, extracurricular activities, social media, and their own high expectations and those of adults. According to the CDC, suicide among teens and young adults has tripled since the 1940s. In an article from the New York Times, it was reported that in 1985, the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA began asking incoming freshmen if they felt overwhelmed by all I had to do. In 1985, only 18% said they did. By 2010, that number had increased to 29%. In 2016, it surged to 41%. Those numbers, combined with a doubling of hospital admissions for suicidal teenagers over the last decade, come as little surprise to high school administrators, parents, and professionals who increasingly see anxious, depressed, and often suicidal teens. Nationally, suicide is the second leading cause of death among 15 to 19-year-olds. During the years 2012 to 2016, in Howard County, suicide was the leading cause of death in this age group. This is alarming and a serious public health issue. I'm Dr. Maura Rossman, Health Officer for Howard County Health Department, and today we're going to discuss who's at risk, how it can be prevented, and how to get help. Our first guest is Sarah Taggart. She understands firsthand the challenge of dealing with this issue. Sarah's daughter, Katrina, was in her first year of college when she took her own life. Thank you for being here, Sarah, today, and for sharing your story. You're the mother of a young woman who took her own life. Difficult, challenging, heart-wrenching. Tell us a little about your daughter, Katrina, and her story.
Well, as a child, Katrina, she was happy. She was the kid that everybody liked to play with because she had a great imagination. She was athletic. She played soccer and lacrosse as a kid. She was on the tennis team at Centennial. She loved music. She loved going to the movies. She was an awesome big sister to her brother, Blake, always looking out for him. She loved school, which was amazing since she was dyslexic and couldn't read until the fourth grade. By the time she was a senior in high school, she was in AP English and had become an excellent writer. But in middle school, she started what we thought was teenage moodiness. And it was a little bit like walking on eggshells, living with her. She could be happy one moment and then sad or angry the next. She didn't take disappointment well. It didn't matter whether it was a fight with a friend, not getting an A on a test. They were disappointments. To those outside her house, our house, she appeared as a well-adjusted kid who had everything going for her. And if you ever met her, you would remember her blonde, springy curls and her megawatt smile.
I didn't know her. I wish I did. And as a parent, I can relate to those teenage years of moodiness, sadness sometimes, the up and down, and hard to tell what's just puberty, normal adolescence, and what can be some deep depression or hidden secrets that they're not sharing. In retrospect, do you think there were any things that you could have picked up, could have talked about a little bit earlier?
Yes, and I agree with you. It really is hard to distinguish between typical teenage moodiness and a mental health issue, especially like anxiety and depression. We think of signs of depression being someone that sleeps all the time, they have no interest or motivation, anything or anyone, they may not be going to their job. But the reality is depression looks different in everyone. Katrina went to school, she had a job, she had friends, she had plans for the future. She did not appear to be depressed as I knew it at the time, as many of us know it. The number one sign that someone might be thinking about suicide is talking and writing about death and or suicide. Katrina wrote a paper before she died called The Misconception of Suicide. She relates a person in a coma with a person with depression. The person in a coma, they've tried everything, but they're brain dead and there's no hope, so they pull the plug. The person with depression has tried everything to live, but they just can't anymore, then there's suicide. She also talked about death and dying, but not in a way that we could understand. She did not say, to my husband, myself, or my son, I want to kill myself. She did not say that. What she did say was things like, I want to walk by a building and have something fall on me. Maybe it would be better if I wasn't here. I just can't do it anymore. I'm sad. Other signs she showed was in her final week was isolation from her friends, trouble sleeping, headaches, drinking, and drug use. Put the signs all together, and if you don't know about mental illness and suicide, it looks like typical teenage angst, but in her case, it wasn't.
Talking about mental health issues, depression, anxiety, suicide with our teens is challenging, uncomfortable, and awkward. I'm a pediatrician. We are taught in anticipatory guidance to talk about in the teenage years the sex, drugs, rock and roll. But we don't really talk about the warning signs for mental health issues and depression. I don't know if it's a societal issue or just a pediatric issue or a parent issue or culture or whatever it is of just checking in. We know from the statistics and even local statistics in Howard County that up to a third of girls think about suicide and up to 20% actually have a plan. So this is not something that happens infrequently. Maybe it's a part of the developmental process. But I think we need to start talking about it, checking in with our kids. How are you? How are you feeling? Even though we may be uncomfortable with that. Because as you said, many people are thinking about this, but we don't know it because they're not outrightly saying, I want to kill myself. Mm-hmm. I know your daughter had friends, and maybe she shared things with friends. In retrospect, do you think friends maybe could have known or be educated about warning signs?
I definitely think so. I teach at Mount Hebron High School, and we have these sayings across the school that says, friends tell. Mm-hmm. And I tell my students, especially my ninth graders coming in, you know your friend better than their parent does. So if your friend is coming into high school and they're just not acting like they usually do, something is probably going on. But friends don't know what to do. And they also may be struggling themselves. So they may think that this is normal. They may think they're not on the brink of thinking about suicide. But I do think if we educate people how to talk to someone who might be thinking about suicide and give them the tools, we can do this. It's not as frightening when you have the tools to do something. And as I tell my students, because sometimes they worry, well, if I tell somebody that my friend is struggling, they're going to be mad at me. And I'm like, you know what? Better your friend who is alive and no longer a friend than a friend who is dead.
Eloquently said. And sometimes we hear that talking about suicide with someone may actually cause them to become suicidal. And that we know is not true. That talking to someone about depression or anxiety or suicide is not going to make them more likely to die by suicide or follow through with their actions.
A person is either thinking about suicide or they're not. You cannot put thoughts in somebody else's head. You just can't. I mean, if we had that power, wow.
That would be my superpower.
I know, right?
Along with the cape and the tiara. To save the world. But one of the things that, in terms of saving each other and helping our children and young adults, is sometimes they're just waiting for someone to step in. That single friend to give them pause, thinking about a parent, a grandparent, or even a pet at home, if they were to follow through, what might happen to them. Suicide can be an impulsive act. Mm-hmm. So even getting someone to pause for a few minutes can ultimately save their life. Your family created a nonprofit organization in Katrina's name. Tell us a little bit about that.
So we created the Katrina Tag Memorial Foundation, and our mission is basically for mental health education and preventing suicide. We want to prevent the tragedy of suicide for other families, and we know that you can. We raise funds, which we donate to other organizations that are aligned with our mission, and those organizations provide programs, counseling. And we don't just support necessarily an organization, we might support a specific program. And we've supported some of the organizations grassroots, National Alliance for Mental Illness, NAMI, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, or AFSP, name a couple. We recently had our 10th annual Memorial Golf Tournament, which in over 10 years has raised $236,000, all of which 100% has been donated. And then we have raised another $100,000 for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention through their Out of the Darkness walks. Anyone can donate to us. You just go to the website, katrinataggett.org, and all donations are tax deductible.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And we'll repeat that at the end so people can donate if they wish. We're going to segue into our next speaker. Sarah, you mentioned grassroots as mm-hmm. one of the places where your foundation does contribute money. Today, we have with us Amy Miller. Amy is the lead clinician for Grassroots Mobile Crisis Team here in Howard County. For those that are not familiar, Grassroots Intervention is a 24-hour resource for those in immediate assistance in Howard County with mental health, family crisis, or substance use disorders. Welcome, Amy, and
Hello.
Thank you for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
You are on the front lines of the mental health battle, and we've discussed previously that Grassroots is seeing an increased number of calls from teens and young adults mm-hmm. or their parents calling about
right.
their young adults and teens. They talk about stress that makes them feel anxious, depressed. What are you hearing on the front lines?
Well, I think in your intro, you talked a lot about just the stress of life. And a lot of the youth that we come into contact with, they're experiencing pressure, whether it's perceived or actual pressure, with regard to doing well in school, with regard to peer and social relationships, with family relationships. I know our young adult age group, that 18 to 25. Sometimes people in that age group are struggling with that change from being dependent on family and parents to being out on their own, and what are they going to do with their life? So that's a lot of what we're seeing when we're out in the field in Howard County.
Sarah talked about when Katrina was depressed, that it was hard to recognize those signs mm-hmm. compared to typical, especially girl, puberty. As a clinician, what are some of the signs and or symptoms that family and friends can be on the lookout for when someone may be in trouble?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I think it's important to remember is that each diagnosis has its own set of symptoms. But some general things to keep on the lookout for are excessive worrying or fear, where you're not able to do your daily living because you're worried about something or you're so sad about something where it affects your daily life. Extreme mood changes can be a warning sign. Prolonged or strong feelings of anger and irritability. I know Sarah talked a little bit about, you know, that moodiness. It's not necessarily someone sleeping all day, although sleeping patterns changing might also be a sign that someone could be struggling with mental health. One thing that we recommend is that if you're ever concerned, to have those conversations and to talk to your teenager or your young adult about, hey, I'm noticing this happening. How are you feeling? Checking in with pediatricians can be a really good start. Hey, this is what I'm noticing at home. What are your suggestions?
Sarah mentioned about education of both parents and friends who can intervene and speak to the person that their friend or their child who may be having difficulty, but how we may not know what to say or have been taught what to say. So can you give us a little script? If we're worried about my friend who just doesn't seem like herself, what can I say?
I think that asking directly about what you're noticing, hey, I noticed that you haven't really been hanging out with us very much lately. Is everything okay? asking directly about that, I think, is really important. When it comes to suicide, asking directly about suicide, are you having thoughts of dying by suicide? Are you having thoughts of killing yourself? It's important to ask directly. And I know we talked a little bit about the misconception and the myth that asking about it could put thoughts into someone's head. But what research is showing is that, like Sarah mentioned, people are already having those thoughts in advance, prior to being asked the question. And when you ask the question, what that does is it gives that person that you're talking to permission to speak freely about what they're thinking and how they're feeling, which then allows you time to intervene. It opens the door for intervention, is how asking about suicide and mental health symptoms, how that really can help.
So talking with the person and being direct and using those, at least for me, uncomfortable words, suicide, are you thinking about killing yourself, is important and will not make the person take action if they weren't already planning to do so.
Yeah, you're talking about Don't Do Nothing, which is part of the Change Matters campaign, which is a student-formed group across the county. At Hebron, we show the Don't Do Nothing video during Pi Week, which is March 14th, because we're celebrating a major number in math, Pi, 3.14 something. And we show that video to emphasize that all you got to do, okay, is stand up and tell someone. That's it. And you can call grassroots. You can get your parents to call grassroots. At the same time that we did this to share, our guidance staff, they came up with a suicide awareness lesson that was given to all the ninth grade health classes. And we're on a block schedule, so they had to give it over 2 days, and I helped with it. And the students learned about the warning signs, they learned about what to do, and they learned about pretty much basically, you know, you can do this. That night, Wednesday night, a boy posted on Snapchat that he was standing on a roof and he just didn't want to be here anymore. And a young girl saw that on Snapchat, posted some positive thoughts, got her mom. They called grassroots. The mobile crisis team went out to this boy's home. And the next day, he was in school. So that shows me and should show others that we can all do this. If a ninth grade girl can stand up there and see that something has to be done, surely we can all do this. I was very, very, I was speechless when I heard this story. And we can all do this. I wish somebody had done that for my daughter.
It's about empowerment and empowering those around us to be connected with each other and to stay connected and to support each other, because life is hard.
Thank you for that. There are things that we can do to bring people together, to speak up and be more connected. Grassroots also has another tool called the There Is Hope app, which is a screening tool that anyone can call who may be concerned that their loved one or they themselves may have a mental health disorder that could benefit from treatment. Can you tell us about that, Amy?
Sure. There's Hope is actually the first suicide prevention app that relies on self-assessment by the person experiencing suicidal thoughts or someone who is concerned about a person experiencing suicidal thoughts. Their questions, the app can be downloaded to both iPhone and Android. And when you pull up the app, there are questions on the app that you answer. And based on your response to those questions, it then sends you to a section that gives recommendations that might be, hey, we'd really like for you to call a hotline. And the number's right there, and all you do is press it. So it's not telling you to call this number, and then you have to go back to and dial your phone, dial that phone number. You can just press a button. And I think that's another really great feature to the app. It is something that connects you also to just community resources, or for someone who might not live in the community, it connects you to the closest hotline to you. So for example, if someone from Ohio has the There Is Hope app, it will connect them to the closest hotline to them. And then they can call that number and get resources that are specific to their area. we're having this really great new feature come out in the beginning of September that we're all excited about. And it's actually a safety planning feature where you will be able to connect with a live counselor who will help you safety plan through the app and over the phone, and then that safety plan will be uploaded to your specific app. So it's really individualized. It's not just a generic safety plan. It's something that each individual can create for their own self. And that's a really awesome feature that we're excited about. And that should be unveiling again in September.
That is exciting. We are so fortunate in Howard County to have so many resources and advocates discussing this topic and providing ways for someone to get help. This is an important topic. We like to think of Howard County as sort of this perfect place where nothing bad happens, but we know that sometimes, and certainly suicide among our teens is something that is happening. Before we finish, I want, Amy, if you can give us a phone number for Grassroots. If there is anyone listening and feels like they want to make the call, what is the phone number?
Sure. That phone number is 410-531-6677. And there's someone to answer that line 24/7.
Thank you. And Sarah, if there is someone who is listening and wants to contribute to your foundation, can you give us that address again?
It's katrinatagget.org, katrinatagget.org. If you just Google Katrina Taggett, the website will come up.
Thank you both. If you are listening and you or someone you know is in crisis or you are not sure, in Maryland, you can call 211 or 410-531-6677 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to speak with someone who can help. That number again is 410-531-6677 or 211. We're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month and a new youth mental health initiative in the county.
What if being in recovery from a mental or substance use disorder was something we proudly showed the world? You might be surprised. Millions of people are in recovery, sharing hope, help, and support with family, friends, and community. Join the Voices for Recovery. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral for mental and substance use disorders for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm so excited for this concert.
Me too. Could you put the directions in my phone?
Hold on, man. I'm trying to put this on Snap.
Okay, I guess I'll do it myself. I'm getting so many texts.
Oh my gosh, watch out!
Approximately 27,000 people are injured or killed annually as a result of distracted driving crashes. It can wait. For more information about distracted driving, visit www.teenhealthmatters.org.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy. Which is great, because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Every year, millions of Americans are exposed to a contagious virus.
What is this virus? It's stigma.
Stigma promotes an environment of shame,
fear, and silence,
which prevents millions of people from seeking help.
But there's good news.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness believes stigma towards mental illness is 100% curable.
So do yourself and everyone a favor.
Go to curestigma.org and get tested for stigma.
Transforming together.
Love is not always enough, and it's wonderful and it's beautiful, but if you love someone And there's not other things missing, like trust or communication or clear expression of expectations and needs and desires. It's okay to say this isn't working anymore.
Join in the conversation Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 3:30 p.m. Or just check it out on our podcast, Dragon Digital Radio, at podbean.com. We are Dragon Digital Radio.
Hello, we're back. Thank you for taking part of your day to listen to The Doctor Is In. We have been talking about teen mental health and suicide. As we've mentioned, in Howard County, from 2014 to 2016, suicide was the number one cause of death for our teens 15 to 19 years of age. Each year, nationwide, over 40,000 people die by suicide, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and this month we hope to educate the community about suicide risk and fight against the stigma and shame that prevents people from talking openly about mental illness and suicide. Our guests today remind us that talking about suicide and other mental health issues is a positive action that can help you or someone you know get the help they need. If you prefer texting to calling, NAMI has a texting hotline where you can get help. You can text NAMI, or N-A-M-I, to 741-741 and talk about your feelings or thoughts. It's a great resource. Again, text NAMI to 741-741 to get help. One of the other resources that we didn't get to talk about is the Youth Mental Health First Aid, or MHFA, initiative in Howard County. Youth Mental Health First Aid provides training for adults who work with young people ages 12 to 18 years of age to help the adults recognize the signs and symptoms of a mental illness or a mental health crisis in young people. The training provides tools to identify a young person in need and connect that teen to the appropriate care. The main concept of the course is that anyone, anywhere, can make a difference in the life of someone with a mental health or substance use disorder, if they know what to say and what to do. Last year, nearly 150 people were trained in youth mental health first aid in Howard County. Our local health improvement coalition, affectionately known as LHIC, is working to increase participation in programs like mental health first aid that reduce stigma and increase awareness of these issues. Two LHIC member organizations collaborated to bring the Youth Mental Health First Aid program to Howard County Public Schools this summer. Over 400 bus drivers and athletic directors took part in the training. If you would like to learn more about this program and how to be trained, visit the Local Health Improvement Coalition website at www.hclhic.org. That's www.hclhic.org. Unfortunately, we're out of time today, and I want to thank Sarah Taggett for the courage to share her story. I also want to thank Amy Miller for her insights and resource information to help others who might be in trouble. Remember, if you or someone you know is in crisis, call 211 or 410-531-6677, or you can text NAMI to 741-741. Don't do nothing, do something. Thank you for listening to this important discussion, and please join us again for the next episode of The Doctor Is In.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.